I want to talk to us tonight a little bit about the presence of God. The presence of God. Now, when I am saying that phrase, the presence of God, I'm not referring to somebody running. I'm not referring to somebody shouting. I'm not referring to somebody swinging from the chandeliers in just a Pentecostal expression. No kind of emotionalism as far as that's concerned. I'm talking about a spirit that lives inside of every Christian. Can I hear an amen? The presence of God, the Spirit of Christ that comes into a heart once they receive Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. Now, there are some things about the presence of God that I'm sure most of you know, have heard of a word called omnipresent. And it's an attribute of God. Matter of fact, there's three attributes right there called omnipresence, omnipotence, and omnipotence. Omnipresent means that God is everywhere at all times at the same time. Now, the devil's not like that. He's not omnipresent. But God is. God is here in Millbrook, Alabama, Summit Holiness Church. How many believes God's here tonight? His presence. Amen. He's the same God that no doubt is in Richlands Tabernacle tonight when they're having church. He's the God that's probably in Falk, Arkansas. I'm sure they're probably having church by now if they're not out already or whatever. I don't know what type of schedule, but they're having church. He's there. He's the God that's probably in Venezuela where Brother Akers is a missionary tonight. He's the God that where Brother Sosa, Brother Anthony may be having church. Amen. Their probably time is different than ours, but when they have church, he's there. He's God everywhere at all times. Amen. There's the omnipotence of God. That means he's all-powerful. Amen. I mentioned this morning, bearing witness again, forgive me, men, but I don't care if you put the army of America together, cook it up with Russia's army, hook it up with China's army, hook it up with Israel's, hook it up with every army in the entire world. It covers the globe. Amen. It would not even, it'd be like a slingshot compared to God's power. Are you with me? Amen. Matter of fact, the Battle of Armageddon, who's ever heard of that? That's what's going to happen in the Battle of Armageddon. But who remembers who wins? God wins. So you got the omnipotence, the all-powerful God. Then you have omniscience, and that's God's all-knowing. He all knows. He knows my past. He knows my present. He knows my future and yours too. Amen. But I want to deal with that presence of God. Now, I don't know about you. Of course, when we think about it, you say, that's sort of a shallow thought. Well, no, it's not shallow. Amen. Our thinking of it might be, but when you get down to it and you search the scriptures, amen, and I don't have time to go into even 5% of them, you'll find that there's times about the presence of God in the Bible that men run from the presence of God. Amen. I couldn't imagine that, but men have run from the presence of God. The Bible talks about when Adam and Eve sinned in Genesis chapter 3, they did what? They went and hid from what? The presence of God. Amen. They sinned. They took of the forbidden fruit. Amen. They sinned. They went and hid from the presence of God. And like I have said here 2 or 3 times, what they should have done soon as they sinned, went running and looking for God and saying, God, I have sinned. Amen. Forgive me, oh God. But they went running and hid themselves. I don't know if the Bible says running, but they went and hid themselves from the presence of God. Of course, God came looking for them. Did he not? Amen. And said, where art thou, Adam? Where art thou, Adam? Amen. And he wanted Adam to see where Adam was at. And there they were. They had never hid from the presence of God. They had always enjoyed the presence of God. Amen. But I've seen this same thing in church as pastor. I've seen it when folks get cold on God. Amen. You notice when folks get cold on God, they don't want God's presence to move. Amen. I don't know if I've told the story, but I remember pastoring. I probably have, but I remember pastoring one particular sister one time, and she during church when, of course, it's a little different in Kentucky. Every church is different. Every area is different. And no areas are the same usually. But in that particular area, the women would come up. Instead of standing up in here in the choir, they would sort of stand up over here in the side. And the men would stand over on this side, and they'd sing congregation singing. And she'd always stand up front with a tambourine and play tambourine. She bought her own tambourine and played. But I remember the time that the first service where she'd sat about three or four services back. And I thought, that's a little odd. I've never seen her do that in months and months and months. Amen. And she'd done that a couple services, and then a week or so went by, and I found her, she'd just sit back toward the middle of the church. And one night, and the power of God was moving, and we were in revival, and the Holy Ghost got to moving, and everybody got to shouting and rejoicing in the Lord. And I watched her. She completely walked out of the church, walked out the back door, shut the door. And it wasn't glass doors like ours, and they were steps. And so I was just curious, and so I sort of eased my way out and through the crowd while folks was getting in, and walked down the aisle there, and even the side aisle, and walked out the back door. And there she was sitting on the top step, and she was about 40-some years old, and I was in my 20s. And I remember I said, "What's wrong?" And she said, "Oh, the music's too loud." And I thought, wait a second here. I didn't say this, but I thought, it's not too loud. You've been here for months now. You've never said anything about it. Wasn't too loud. But it was just a couple of weeks after that she totally, amen, completely backslid. But what am I saying? There she was. The presence of God was there, but there was something in her heart that drew her away from the presence. And that's what sin does. Amen. But I want to talk about the importance. I could tell you about Cain, who went out from the presence of God after he slew his brother Abel. Amen. But another example on the positive side was Moses. Moses knew that when he had a task before him, that he prayed, "Lord, don't send me up thither, Lord, unless thy what? Presence go with me." He knew the importance of the presence of God in his life. I want to tell you, church, if there is ever a time we, the church of Jesus Christ, amen, realize the importance of having and keeping and loving the presence of God in our life. I'm not talking about running and jumping. I'm talking about our everyday life, in our marriage, in our home, amen, in our every area of our life, to have the presence of God. Amen. There is nothing no more a person should treasure than the presence of God. Amen. You and I are what we are because of the grace of God that brought the Spirit of Christ into our heart. Amen. Help me here, Lord. I want to tell you, though, there is a group of people, and I mentioned, I think it was Wednesday night, I sort of shared a little bit about it, then I couldn't get away from it, tried to sort of get away from it, had something else on my mind, but I just kept right on, Lord just kept right on dealing with me about this. Amen. Do you know, amen, the importance of the presence of God? Look, if you're having trouble sinning, I know I'm in a holiness church, but if you're having trouble sinning, then you have failed to realize the importance of keeping the presence of God. The Bible talks about, help me out here, preachers, Galatians or Ephesians that talk about grieve not the Spirit of God? Huh? Talks about grieving the Spirit. Amen. You got to understand that you are not going to overcome sin, amen, by turning over of the leaf. You're not going to overcome sin by saying, "Well, I'm never going to do that again." You're not going to overcome, amen, a sinful habit by saying, "Well, I just hope I never do that again." It takes the presence of God. Amen. It's what takes a broken marriage and can make it a godly marriage. It's what takes a marriage that is in trouble, amen, and bring peace in that home. Only the presence of God can do that. There are folks that's sitting right here, right tonight. You may not have heard them say it, amen, but you go back 5 and 10 and 15 and 20 and 25 years ago, when they come to Christ, they were having trouble in their home, and it was the presence of God and the Spirit of God that came into that home that made that home different. Amen. Nothing else but the presence of God. And if we don't treasure that, saints, if we don't treasure that, amen, and we lose the presence of God in our life, then we, my friend, will follow after fleshly things and carnal things. But the important thing is to have the presence of Almighty God in our life continually. Amen. I've said it before. Boy, when you think about David, when he sinned with Bathsheba and committed adultery, the famous sin of the Bible, probably one of the top three. You probably got Judas's betrayal up there. One of the top three, David with Bathsheba's probably right up there. Amen. And maybe Judas. I don't know what would be the top three, but I guarantee David and Bathsheba is right up there as far as being most well known. Amen. But you remember in Psalms 51 when the Bible recorded David's repentance prayer? Why did it put that prayer in there? Amen. Why did God, amen, move on a man, amen, by the inspiration of the Holy Ghost, as we preached last Sunday night, and put and allow us to see David's prayer? Sister Cindy mentioned a while ago, amen, about, you know, if you could hear me pray and moaning and groaning, you think, my goodness, there was some times like that in my life. Anybody else here? Sometimes I don't want to pray out loud, Brother Daniel. Sometimes I don't want nobody being around me hearing me what I pray. Is anybody know what I'm talking about? There have been some times that I even here by myself at this church. Amen. Sometimes I look around, I say, well, there might be somebody here, so, you know, I'm going to pray just by myself. Why? Because there's just some things that's personal, and you want to deal with it, and you want to talk to God about it. But here the Bible just opens the heart of David and exposes David's heart and his prayer of repentance. And David, my friend, amen, though he was a king, though he was like a president over a kingdom, amen, David didn't pray, Father, God, don't take my kingdom away from me. But David prayed, God, take not thy presence, take not thy Holy Spirit from me. David realized in that waywardness of, amen, of his walk with God, that the most important thing in his life was the presence of God. David didn't ask for God to take anything else, not away, but he said, God, don't take your presence. I think sometimes we take it for granted what the presence of God has done in our lives. I tell you what God's presence has done. It's kept my marriage together. It's kept my children saved. Huh? It's kept me on the right path. There have been times have you ever been checked by the Holy Ghost? You ever just felt the Holy Ghost just nudge and say, don't say that. Don't do that. Don't go there. Don't do this. Amen. Huh? You better read the book of Acts, because the Holy Ghost forbade some of them to go to different places and preach the gospel. Don't go there. Not right now. Amen. Don't go over there. Don't go there. Amen. The importance of the presence of God. David realized that. David was a man that had had riches and wealth and a kingdom. But when it come right down to it, when he was on the bottom, amen, when he was at his wit's end, when he felt the lowest in his entire life, there was one thing he didn't want to lose, and that was the friendship of God. I love you and I appreciate you. But more than your approval, amen, I want God's approval. I love my family dearly. Amen. I love my mother. I love my wife. I love my children. I love my family. But more than their approval, I want the approval of God and the friendship of God. Huh? Amen. I don't want to be like Jonah did, who ran from the presence of God. People do that. I've seen backsliders run from it. I've seen preachers not openly preachers, but preachers that God is trying to call to preach, run from his presence, that don't want to preach. Huh? Amen. I don't want to be like that. I don't want to run from the presence of God, Brother David. I want to surrender to the presence of God. Now, I've got to hurry. I've already preached about 21 minutes. In the Old Testament, and I didn't mention some of this stuff in the morning, this morning, but in the Old Testament, matter of fact, when you look at God's presence and where God dwells, amen, you have to go back to Adam. Amen. All the way back to the first place God chose to dwell was in Adam. Adam was a three-part house. He was made in the image of Almighty God. He reflected the triune nature of God. We're Trinity, aren't we? I believe in the Trinity from the top of my head to the soles of my feet. Amen. Adam was God's primary design. Amen. Body, soul, and spirit. The body allows us, amen, access to the physical world. The soul allows access to the emotional world. And the spirit allows access to the, amen, spiritual world. And the spirit is what separates man from the animals. It makes us unique because the spirit can be indwelled by God. And it is the spirit where we have the capacity to worship God. Amen. But the thing, you see, the design was Adam, but the desecration, if I pronounce that, was Adam's sin. When Adam sinned, then there was desolation. And after Adam sinned, God did what? He moved out. Amen. And Adam's house became desolate. Amen. Matter of fact, the Bible said, when you touch it, you shall surely die. Amen. And Adam did. He didn't die physically at that particular moment, but he died spiritually. And their house became desolate. And then ultimately there was the destruction. And then Adam did die physically. Amen. But then the second house that God dwelt in the Old Testament was the tabernacle. Amen. And it had three parts. Are you with me? It had the inner and the outer and the innermost and the holies of holies. Amen. Again, God, amen, designed this, amen, perfect house and, amen, that to dwell in. A pattern, rather. It served as a visible pattern for mankind so that men could see the type of dwelling God would use. I want to tell you something. The Bible teaches us that our bodies is a temple of the Holy Ghost. God doesn't live in an unclean temple. You want the baptism of the Holy Ghost? You want the presence of God? You want the power of God? Amen. You've got to live sanctified, holy. Are you with me? Amen. I don't have time to get into it, and I haven't studied it, so I can't get into it all at this particular time. I've studied in times past, but not for this particular message. Amen. Where when you have the Old Testament and the tabernacle, amen, where in that innermost being, I've got a computer program. It's pretty awesome. Amen. That builds, it reads there in the book of Exodus, and it reads and where it tells Moses how to make the Ark of the Covenant and the tabernacle and the veil, that, you know, and all of those type of things, and the showbread and different things, and the priest is ephod. Amen. And while it's reading it, it's building it right in front of you on a screen. It's one of the most amazing computer things I've got. Amen. And boy, when you see that and you see God's design for that in God, amen, and through that Ark of the Covenant, which represented the presence of God in that innermost holies of holies. Amen. When that priest would go into that holies of holies once a year, amen, he couldn't go in there with sin, because if he did, God would kill him right on the spot. Amen. Matter of fact, he'd have to wear a long robe, a long garment, amen, with bells on the bottom of his garment, with a rope tied around his ankle, because if he went in there with sin or without the blood from the mercy, without the blood of the sacrifice, amen, to sprinkle on the mercy seat, God would instantly slay him, and another man would have to pull him out by that rope. I mean, it was serious. You can't mess with the presence of God. Don't ever play with it. Don't ever just dabble with the presence of God. Just take it for granted. It's serious. It's very serious. God wants to dwell with us. Amen. I know and see that Old Testament, the tabernacle. Of course, we know that that was done around after the time of the crucifixion, around 70 AD. And of course now when you look at it, amen, in Revelation and the rebuilding, amen, of the tabernacle over there, and they're re-sacrificing and they're looking toward that. I was reading something the other day where they're getting red heifers together and they're training priests together, going to try, you know, and of course that's part of Revelation and things of that nature. But I want to tell you,